Hello and welcome to Adulting with Ebony, the podcast where each week I explore what it means to be a kick-ass and kind adult in our modern world. Expect strong language and viewpoints, as no topic is out of bounds here. My guests and I will navigate the complete spectrum from wildness to responsibility with compassion and curiosity rather than expectation. I'm Ebony Allard and I'm a misfit turned maven, an author, a coach and your host for Adulting with Ebony. Come on then, let's do this. So today I am joined by Alice, and Alice and I have known each other for a long time, and Alice has been part of M2M360 for... Alice, when did you join?
I joined at the beginning of February.
Excellent. So we've been working together a little while, but we haven't done any real one-to-one work.
No.
So today we've got, I don't know, about half an hour, and I'd love to know what is up for you, what you would like to talk about.
Oh, where to start, really? The main reason that I joined M2M360 at the start of the year was because I started my own business. So I was working as a social media director for a big agency, but really, really wanted to go out on my own. So I set up my own social media and content marketing consultancy, along with numerous other side projects that I'm working on. And this has been a real kind of roller coaster of a year for me. It's been kind of getting used to a really different way of existing, a different way of managing my time, a different way of managing my money, a different way of sort of relating to myself as a business owner rather than an employee, which I think was a much bigger shift in mindset than I was expecting it to be, in a good way. I think it would be good to kind of have a chat about sort of that journey and the things that I've uncovered, what I've learned through working with you and with everyone else in the M2M360 group. And then I guess in terms of kind of where I think I could sometimes do with a bit more support is certainly around, and it really feeds nicely into the chat we were just having before we started recording, about how busy I am and how I kind of look out on everything that's in front of me in my future and find myself battling with feelings of overwhelm because it all looks so big. Around shifting that mindset that actually playing big kind of isn't really as scary as you think it is sometimes. If that makes any sense.
It makes so much sense. And I think that so many people will be able to relate to that feeling of, even in actually the coaching session I had earlier today, we were talking about paradigm shifts. And it's a word that gets bandied around a lot now. But really, making the shift from being an employee to being a freelancer or being a business owner or starting into a new income level or thinking bigger or whatever it is, every single time it's an identity shift, and actually it's a paradigm shift. So you've done a huge amount this year because you've completely reframed who you see yourself as. What would be a good outcome for you, like in the next 20 minutes, half an hour?
I think I'm looking out next month onto a really full month. And so where I am with my business at the moment is I think a lot of the last sort of 6 months or so has been really about being able to prove to myself that this is something I can do, and this is something I can do independently, and it's something I could do on my own, because that was a massive fear for me at the start of the year, kind of coming from a big agency with a big name, you know, reputation behind me and a whole team of people. I really didn't know how I was going to be when it was just me. And I think as well, there was a part of me needing to prove it to myself that that was something that I was able to do and I was capable of. And now that I have proved that to myself, the biggest shift for me in the last couple of months is that I've realized that now that I'm sort of satisfied that I can do it on my own, it's felt a lot more okay to admit to myself that I don't actually want to do it on my own. So I'm taking on a business partner, and she's currently working her notice at an agency job at the moment, and she's coming on board from the start of October. So there's kind of some massive shifts going on at the moment, which are super exciting because we're prepping to kind of bring her into the business and establish it as a partnership. But again, it's this this extra kind of big shift from being kind of accountable to someone else and jointly responsible for something. And then, you know, looking at the prospect of, oh my goodness, if this is successful, then, you know, we're kind of talking about employees and offices and, you know, all of this stuff that feels really kind of big and scary. Okay. So I'm conscious we've got a small amount of time, but I guess something around like knowing it's really scary and that actually you don't know how to do it all yet, but not letting that induce feelings of fear and panic.
Okay, so rather than this necessarily being like a coaching session where we review the current status of things, look at the options available and work out some action points and a way forward, which is often how coaching sessions go. There is a kind of, there's other sort of examples of coaching sessions, and sometimes they're like a brainstorming session, and sometimes it's kind of just a conversation that turns into a pep talk of sorts, I suppose. And looking at things from different perspectives. And I guess one of the things I'm often told is that one of my skills is helping people with the right allegory or references so that they can reframe things in their brain. And what I'm hearing you say a couple of times already is that there's this busyness and overwhelm that happens when things get too big. And that you, although you are doing so much better at not freaking yourself out, that there's still a tendency towards, so there's that line, isn't there, between visioning it so that you can step into it and it's exciting, and then it tips past exciting into really fucking scary.
Yeah. and it's weird, like it changes on a almost like hour to hour basis on some days. Like I can go from complete excitement to then like, oh my goodness, this is really huge.
And you know what, I think you're not alone in that. I think that there's a lot of people for whom, so out in the, I guess, personal development world, we're often told to spend time visualizing. And the more we can get our senses involved in what something's going to be like, so we can visualize it or we can work out what we might be hearing or what we might be feeling into the future, actually what we're doing is creating the scenario in our brain. And once our brain has imagined it, it genuinely doesn't know whether we've done it or whether we've just imagined it. So the more real it feels, the more real it is. And then your brain goes, oh yeah, I know how to do that. I've done it before. And yet there's a slight difference between doing that and what a lovely friend of mine called Jenny calls future negativing, where instead of projecting into the future and just creating something, we're creating worst case scenarios.
Yeah.
And is that what happens for you?
I think it used to, it definitely used to, you know, an ex-partner of mine used to call it going nuclear, because he'd say that he'd never known someone that could go from an event happening to the worst case scenario in such a short space of time. And that's something I've been really working on this year. And I don't feel like that is what I do anymore. I think through working with you, especially, and through speaking to the other people in M2N360, that has got something I've really managed to get a handle on doing. I think it's more like I get paralyzed by I don't know, and I get stopped by, I don't know how, and I can't do this. And, you know, those are the things when I know on some level I can, I just need to put in the time and the effort to find out.
Okay, so I think this is really interesting. Have you ever read Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki?
No.
Okay, I don't know why I've been talking about this book all week, but I have. So, do you know who he is?
No.
Okay, so it's a really interesting book. And if I ever sort this podcast out and there are show notes,
we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah. I feel like that's something I should say, right?
I've always wanted to say that.
Okay, so it'll be there. He had, growing up, a dad with a rich mentality and another dad with a poor mentality. And actually, when it was starting out, they were right at the beginning of their career, and there wasn't necessarily that financial divide between them. Mm. He had this fantastic opportunity to be able to listen to what both of them were saying, reflect on it for himself and make his own decisions. And he is now an incredibly wealthy man, not just financially, but in all areas of his life. And his book is really interesting because it kind of dives into the mindset, and he has a quadrant which explains how people use money or relate to their money, how rich people spend their money and how poor people spend their money, but also how they think about it. Mm. The reason I'm bringing it up in this reference, in this instance, is because he says that his poor dad would say, "Oh, I can't afford that." Mm. And his rich dad banned those words from the household.
Mm.
And he would say instead, "How can I afford that?"
Mm.
And it's about really, like, the difference is about taking ownership.
Yeah.
Because, and this works with, "Oh, I can't do that," as an instant response, to retraining your brain so that the response is, "How can I do that?"
Mm.
And, or, "I don't want to do that now. I'm going to come back to that later."
Mm.
Which, if you think about the money side of things, very often when we go, "Yeah, I can't afford that," or if your friend says, "Will you come and do this?" and you go, "Yeah, I can't afford to." Really, if you unpick it underneath it, is it that you can't afford to? Or is it that right now, that's not the priority for you?
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have the money, but you had one opportunity to meet your absolute idol tomorrow.
Yeah.
You'd make it happen, right?
Yeah.
So it's never that we don't have the money. It's in most situations, it's that we weren't expecting to have to do that in that time frame. And so we haven't thought about how we're going to do it. But when it becomes a real priority for us, we switch on the "well, how," and then we find a creative solution to it.
Yeah.
And then the other option is that our brain just goes, "You know what? This isn't a priority for me right now. This is something I'm really interested in, but I'm going to park it until such time as there's brain space and it can be a priority for me."
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
So tell me how that thinking could be applied into this new situation with Sophie.
I think a lot of it is around, like, I've never done it before. So my brain goes to, "Oh, I don't know." And I think I have this, and I know we've discussed this many times on coaching calls, I have this real fear of getting stuff wrong. And I will often go into, like, this crazy research mode where I need to get, like, 10 different people's opinion before I can make a decision because I don't trust my gut. There are certain areas where I have a real kind of low sort of confidence in my own knowledge. And so it goes from "I can't do that," and then it goes to "ask everyone for their opinion." And then I just have 10 different opinions, and then I still can't make a choice.
Is that true, Alice? So tell me something that you haven't made a choice on this year. Because that process has happened quite a few times this year. Is there anything where you haven't finished it because you couldn't make a choice?
No, I've got there eventually. But I know that I could have got there quicker and I haven't needed.
So this isn't actually about not knowing or fear of failure. It's actually about not being able to do it quick enough.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do that confidence is built by doing the thing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this a lot. And when you don't know something, you have to, like, so I say this nearly all the time, but apathy breeds doubt and action breeds clarity. And so when we get stuck, when you're in a, I don't know how to do that yet place, and it's very simple. You can just add that yet.
Add the yet, yeah.
The voice. Then you've already told me that you have a strategy for changing that, which is that you go into research mode, which is a skill of yours anyway.
Yeah.
You find out all the information, you get a range of opinions, and then you check in with yourself to see what you think.
Yeah.
And have you been wrong, or has your gut been wrong any time yet?
No.
So you're learning to trust it.
Yeah.
And it's
when you said that, I was then like, there was like a fear then of like, oh, I haven't been wrong yet. So there's bound to be a wrong decision soon.
Okay. So here's the thing. It is not a trick. No one's out to get you. Yeah. You were given, and this is a really interesting thing, right? So society has set you up to believe that you can't trust your inner guidance system, because if everybody trusted their inner guidance system, then we wouldn't need to look toward a guru or a leader. And the way that the patriarchy has set up leadership is that one person's in charge and it's power over. So they have to be above everybody else in order to be powerful.
Mm.
And we're changing that story. We're looking at a power two model where everybody is powerful, where everybody is sovereign and they can make their own decisions. And in times gone by, that would have been terrifying for a leader because it would have meant that they would have been overthrown. And so it was not okay for people to think for themselves or trust their inner guidance system.
Mm.
But actually, every single one of us has an inner guidance system. Every single one of us has a gut or an inner knowing or an intuition that knows.
Mm.
And it is a skill and it's a new relationship.
Mm.
And what happens in any new relationship, you spend time getting to know one another and trusting each other before you just know that you can rely on them, right?
Yeah.
And that's what's happening with you and your relationship with your gut.
I'm
when I did ski seasons, I don't know whether you can relate to this. I'm sure you can with running. I'm going to find a running example for you in a second. When I did ski seasons, when I very first started at the beginning of the season, in order to clean all the bedrooms that I had to clean, it would take pretty much all day and there was no skiing time left or snowboarding time left at the end of the day.
Yeah.
By the end of the season, the hotel had not shrunk. The rooms had not changed shape or got smaller. And I could do those rooms in about an hour and a half and then get out snowboarding for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You just get quicker.
Yeah.
Because you know what to expect. You know how it works. You work out a pattern and a rhythm and you like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So if you're starting off this new process of getting to know yourself, understanding how your business works, understanding what kind of decisions you need to make on a daily basis, can you see how at first this isn't going to be fast?
Yeah.
But over time it will improve, it will get quicker.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that land with you?
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's definitely... Yeah, that I completely get that. And I think, yeah, a kind of trait of mine is I do sort of want everything to happen yesterday. So I do have that sort of impatience as well. And it's weird because like you're saying that, like I know that when I first started running, like I was terrible. I was so slow. I'd go out for 10 minutes and I'd think I was going to die. And, you know, I was terrible at it and it was so much effort and I dreaded it every day. I just really wanted to get fit. So I kept on at it. And then within a couple of years, I was running half marathons and then, you know, barely feeling out of breath the whole way around. And then it became like, it wasn't something I dreaded. It was something I got used to with practice.
And now when you're running a marathon, do you spend the whole way around going, oh my God, I just want to be at the end? Or do you kind of enjoy the running process and the scenery and the thing and the doing it?
I enjoy it.
Okay. Would you like your business to be a sprint or a marathon?
Oh, I definitely like it to be a marathon.
So can you, as an anchor, when you're in that place of like, I just want to be at the end.
Yeah.
Connect yourself back into what it feels like to be running a marathon and actually enjoying the process, like noticing how your body's doing, congratulating yourself on having got this far, looking at what's next and going, oh, maybe I want to go that way.
Yeah, totally.
This business that you're in is a marathon, but not only is it a marathon, it's one that you get to dictate the course of.
Yeah.
How does that feel?
Yeah, that feels a lot less scary, and it's, you know, it's weird, like I've spoken like publicly about this before, about kind of going at your own pace and learning to trust yourself, and it's really strange how I've applied those lessons to areas where like I've done it and I'm like, oh great, lesson learned, that's the lesson now, great, I feel confident and I feel comfortable doing that, and as a freelancer, great, this is life. It's now looking at almost like the next, like it's like completing a level of a computer game that was like really hard, but by the time you got to the end you were like, oh, I've got this now, I know all the jumps and the twists and the turns, and I know how these bad guys behave, and I know how to kill these ones. And then it's like you're going into the next level of a computer game, and like half of it's kind of familiar and half of it is like, oh my god, what do these guys do, how do I get over to this bit, what does this thing do, you know?
This is
like leveling up.
Yeah, so it's an analogy I use all the time with people. And so for me, often in that leveling up, like I can feel it when it's happening, right? You know that bit like in Mario where you disappear and you kind of come back through, like in this whole new world. Just for a second it looks exactly the same and you're disappointed because how boring. And then you realize that actually what in round one was a mushroom that made you bigger and stronger now kills you.
Totally.
Not cool, dude, not cool. And what I often say then in this analogy is that the world, like it may look the same, but it's different. And there's no reason to be scared, because if you look up just for a second, you'll see how you've got an extra life and you've got a whole load of tools that you didn't have before. So you've now got a bow and a magic potion and like all of these things. And actually, if you look over the last year, you've got M2M360, you've got a business partner, you've got trust in yourself that you didn't have before.
Yeah.
And those are your arsenal of new tools that you can use in this next level.
Yeah.
And actually that makes it exciting. So and that carries on. That doesn't matter how quickly, like I know people who have gone from, you know, working for themselves to having 6 employees, or gone from earning 0 to 20K months. I know people who've done that in a relatively short amount of time, and I know people who've done it in a relatively long amount of time, and it's been the exact right timing for that person. And what I also know is that at each level it's just as scary and just as challenging. When I'm at the gym, the weirdest thing happens, right? You start off with a weight and you're like, oh my god, this is so hard. And then like you think it's going to get easier, but it never gets easier. You just get stronger.
Yep.
And you get stronger and then you lift a heavier weight.
Yep.
And that's part of the process. And so sometimes like if we spent our life fighting gravity, being alive would be really difficult.
This is true.
So when we understand that this process, this leveling up process, the looking into the future, envisioning, the recognizing the tools that we have now that we didn't have before, recognizing the relationships and the partnerships that we've got now that we didn't have before, and taking steps forward, knowing that you are stronger, even though it is challenging, and recognizing that that actually means that you're in the right place.
Yeah.
If instead of fighting that, we just go, oh yeah, this is how it is. Mm. This is gravity.
Yeah.
Then we can really enjoy the marathon.
Yeah.
I think I've just mixed like four metaphors all in one there.
It's all right. I got it.
Such an ebony trait. We just did marathons and gaming. And like
marathons and gaming. Yeah.
So that said, how are you feeling about October to the end of the year now?
I'm feeling very excited. I'm really, really looking forward to having someone else to bounce ideas off. And, you know, sort of the more people that we tell about what we're doing, the more kind of interest we're getting. There's a lot of kind of opportunities opening up for us, which are really exciting. I'm very conscious of the fact I'm going away for 3.5 weeks in December. So I know that I have to plan effectively for that as well. But yeah, we've got a lot going on, and it is very exciting, but I'm also kind of just looking at it going, I have no idea how I'm going to fit all of this in. And that's where the kind of scary bit happens. But I know it's just a question of planning and prioritizing.
And it is that, right? So that comes back to what we were talking about at the beginning, planning and prioritizing. So saying no, not now, or yes, but not now.
Yeah.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
And trusting the divine timing of our life. Like, I really like pizza, which is a pain as a gluten-free person, but I really like pizza, right? I also really like chocolate cake. I also really like red wine.
Yeah.
I don't like an excessive amount of all of those things at the same time.
Mm.
It's not good for me. It makes me feel sick. It's overwhelming and I can't enjoy any of them.
Yeah.
It's really okay for me to say, I'm not saying no to that chocolate cake. I would just like it tomorrow instead.
Yeah.
Can you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Because I think this is a thing with new business owners, with freelancers, when any opportunity comes in, we think we have to say yes to it.
Yeah.
And it's just like the pizza, just like the wine, just like the chocolate cake. You do not have to say yes to everything right now.
Mm.
And actually, when you say to people, we would love to do that, but we don't have availability until December, or we don't have availability until January, can we talk about that? The person on the other end will either say, oh, I didn't realize that you guys need that much lead time. That's not going to work for this project, but we know now for next time to come to you a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Or they go, oh my God, that's amazing. You're fully booked. Fantastic. And they really respect you.
Mm.
Or they go, yeah, we can make that work. No problem. Or like, you can't chess play. You can't play chess for both sides. You can only manage your pieces, not the other sides as well. And you can have some idea of what people might do or might say. But if you're projecting onto them, you're not allowing it to be a co-creation.
Mm.
And you don't need to manage both sides.
Mm.
I actually find that the more we let go of making decisions for other people, the more space and more energy I've got for myself to be able to make the right decisions for me.
Mm.
And I know that that's something that a lot of us struggle with, is like accidentally controlling the other side of a relationship as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there is that fear that, like, you know, there is that real like fear of missing out that I think a lot of people experience, where you feel like, oh my God, if I don't say yes to it, then like it's never going to happen, or it's too good to turn down, and, you know, and I've done that a lot and then found myself in a space of overwhelm.
Yeah, there's always more pizza. There's always more chocolate cake. Like, it's not... And like, actually part of growing up is learning that.
Mm.
And that it's the same for your business, right? When it's born, it's a business baby, and it can very quickly go through to adolescence. And then you need to put systems in place and strategy in place and like look after those things. And then you can go into growth or maturity. But the internal work has to happen there. You have to be able to not eat chocolate till you're sick. Like, I, when I moved up to university, I genuinely, the first day at uni, I ate chocolate all day for every meal because I had no parents. And at the end of that day, I very quickly learned that actually the next day I needed green vegetables.
Yeah.
And the same thing happens in business, right? You take on everything until you feel overwhelmed and burn out.
Mm.
And then you're not reliable, and you're not who you say you are, and you're not who you want to be, and you're not living in alignment with your own values, and then you feel rubbish.
Mm.
And so this is just a part of its growing pains, right? Learning how to say no.
Mm. And I know we speak about it a lot. You know, this is something that comes up again and again and again when we're having the M2M 360 conversations. And I know that we kind of talk a lot about the fact that every time you say no to something, you're opening up space to say yes to something bigger and better as well. So I try and kind of keep that in mind as well, that if that when something comes up and I feel like I'm saying, I'm always trying to like stop myself and go, right, am I saying yes to this because I feel like I should, or am I saying yes because I want to?
Yeah. Yeah. Space is a magic thing. I think I've told this story about six times this week, but I decluttered last week. I'm moving house again. I'm always moving house, according to the internet. Every time I move house, all of my friends go, again.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm incrementally climbing a ladder till I get to a place where I really want to be. Castle is coming.
Castle.
So I was doing a big declutter, and I had so much resistance about getting rid of these things. I didn't know what it was, but I didn't want to get rid of clothes that some of them had tags in them. I'd spent a lot of money on them, things like that.
Mm.
And eventually I made the decision that I was ready to get rid of them.
Mm.
And I took the bags downstairs to the car to take to the charity shop. And on the floor, on my mat, was a letter from a bank. I kind of internally made a sound.
Yeah.
And I opened that letter. And in it was a check for £505.09 from a bank that I closed 6 years ago. And I have no idea how they know what my address is or where I am or why they want to give me this money now. Except for the fact that the evening before I had been freaking out about money and had journaled, like used all my tools, had done some EFT, had journaled, had sat with it, was like, what is going on here? And when I finally felt ready, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm going to create space to allow more in.
Mm.
And that's exactly what happened. And yeah, you can't do it all at the same time, but you can pick the things that you want to do right now.
Mm.
And living in this other paradigm involves a process of trusting that there's always enough and that there's always more.
Yeah. And I think that just completely comes back to kind of what we were saying at the start about like looking out into this kind of new phase and these new challenges. I feel like talking around it has helped me realize a lot of where the overwhelm is coming from is the thought of what I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, I should be making time for, I should be on top of this, I should be on top of that.
And according that, to who?
According to this idea I have about what an organized business owner looks like.
Yeah. you're the storyteller here, you're the narrator, you get to decide.
Mm.
And I've never met a helpful should.
No. I read this thing the other day, and I can't remember where I read it, about every time you say the word should, try changing it to could.
Yeah.
So like, I should tidy my house becomes I could tidy my house.
How does that feel in relation to this?
Yeah, it does feel really different. It does feel different.
Yeah.
And I think that's something I need to keep in the kind of turning in the background.
Okay, so how can you anchor these things? So these things we've just talked about, and then we'll wrap up. How can you anchor these things? We've got, I don't know how to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, instead of I can't do that, how can I do that?
Yeah.
We've got turning a should into a could.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they should be on post-its somewhere where I can see them every day.
They should be.
They could be on post-its where I can see them every day.
And how would that feel?
It would feel good, because if they were somewhere where I woke up and that framed my day,
yeah,
then that is how I immediately start to kind of process all of the data from the day, becomes through that filter.
Yeah. So in my world, every quarter, and this is something that we do in M2M360, is we start visioning through the quarter, and I can remind you guys to do this, but I change those post-it notes, because for 3 months they work, and if they're there for any longer, then you're just not even reading them anymore, because you just know they're there.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, so around my desk space, I have like the mantras that I'm working with, or the affirmations, or the useful post-it notes that I'm working with. And I wonder whether for this next quarter, you've got yours.
Yeah.
Cool. Has this been useful?
Yeah, really useful. It's been kind of like, I was kind of starting to almost feel the panic rising going into September. But I feel like I've got something to anchor myself now. And I feel like it's going to be easier to manage those feelings.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with me, and for chatting with me, and for being so open about where you are. And
thank you for having me.
Come and, I mean, I know you will, but in the Misfit to Maven Mastermind group, come and let us know how you get on. And bring Sophie in so she can let us know as well.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Thank you, Alice.
Cool. Thanks so much, Ebony.
This has been Adulting with Ebony. I have been Ebony. You have been great. Thank you so much for all of your support. Please keep listening, liking, rating, sharing, so that more people can come and enjoy and engage with us. Really, thank you. I'll see you next time.